for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
And away we go. Welcome in Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV. It is always a great pleasure to be with you. I'm Jeff. There you see Corey waving his hands in his Braves cap. Never known a man to wear a hat so poorly.
Oh, it's an awful hat.
It's unreal. We'll talk about it. I'm not talking about the hat. I'm talking about your head. I don't know why it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And there's, of course, our good friend Ira Schofel. And you guys are you, and you're watching, and we appreciate that. You're also listening, and we appreciate our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage! Tell them, Ira.
So last night, actually, we're at the house. Kim and I were debating whether or not to go to the store, pick up some things. Mm-hmm. I was out of town for the weekend. A little low on the supplies.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, I've got some of that prepackaged jambalaya. We could throw some Registers in there. So we planned on that. She started making it, then realized we were out of Registers.
Oh, no.
So I was like, well, I'll run to the store. And Kim's like, no. I've got another pack of a different brand.
Man. Are you talking to her yet? Did you throw it across the room?
I let her sleep in the house last night.
Good.
But it was
smart. It was dicey for her
for a second. I wasn't going to say anything. As I'm eating this fake sausage.
This non-registered sausage.
I'm not even going to name the brand.
Betrayal.
I'm not going to name the brand. It's a name brand.
Oh, so you still let her do it.
Well, because I was like, all right, you know, we'll give it a shot.
I see. I thought maybe you'd run this to the store and get the real deal.
And then about halfway through we're eating and she looks at me and she's like, that was a mistake, right? I was like,
Yeah.
I tried to tell you.
You said, here's my plate.
So,
yeah. That's right.
Anyway, I won't step out again. Register Sausage is not only is it Ben, a Noel, who runs the company, the big Florida State fans and supporters, but also the best sausage you can find at your grocery stores in the Northeast Florida.
Order online. It comes in frozen, all set for you. You're good to go.
Yep. The website's registermeats.com, and they'll ship it to you, and you don't want to miss out. There's only 4 more weeks of the regular season. Mm. Get your registered sausage.
Where has the year gone?
I'm telling you.
Sweet Jesus. All right. So how do we feel today? I usually a little time removed from a game like that certainly, I think, took our emotions for a bit of a ride. Looked like rather improbably late Florida State was actually going to win the game, even though the play on the field suggested they had no business winning the game. But they had a chance, and it almost happened. And typically when that happens, fans get really pissed, and it stays with you for a while. I don't know that I had that reaction. I did initially, like any other Noel. I wanted to win, and when we didn't, it hurt. But at the same time, there were some positives to take away and some real negatives to take away, too, and some sober reminders of just how dominant Clemson's defensive line is compared to Florida State's offensive line. In fact, upon watching the game yet again, the rewatch, really, you can explore that more in depth. And there are some tough moments to watch there where you realize that certain things aren't possible for a lot of reasons. The offensive line, Jordan Travis has limitations as a passer big time, and the receivers aren't good. That's a deadly combination going against a good defense.
Of the
yes.
Of the three elements there, I'm not sure that Jordan needed to be the big time, because I think the other two were pretty big time also, especially the offensive line. I mean, they're not bad, but they just got exposed. And that's where I was kind of kicking myself a little bit after the game, that I didn't realize how big of an issue that was going to be. I mean, Clemson obviously has not had the season that they expected to have. Mm-hmm. The defense hasn't even played probably to the level it should, at least not consistently. But when you look at it player for player and you look at those matchups, and it's like, man.
And they're missing one of the guys. The Breezy guy, they're missing him, and he was like the number one player in the country coming out of high school.
Well, I mean, all those guys, every guy out there was like the number one player in their position coming out of high school.
I mean, I thought, you know, they got a touchdown defensively, but I thought 20 points was about what they were going to score. You needed to hold them to 17, and you didn't. But I thought overall, I also think we'll get into I was encouraged mostly with what we saw on Saturday, but this is probably the last game, right, where you're like encouraged by a loss, like in Mike Norvell's tenure, probably. When you think about the rest of this season and then going into next season, you can't have, hey, that was an encouraging loss anymore. We'll be year two and a half next season.
Well, I don't know that I would label it encouraging.
Yeah, encouraged isn't the word.
I thought I was.
No, I agree with you.
I don't know that I was.
I'm okay. I'm okay with encouraged. I'm probably more encouraged than I am discouraged. But I think there's a middle there too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that if they lose to Florida, you're going to be like, oh, what the hell? You know?
I have no idea what Florida team is going to show up. They are in shambles. If they choose to show up, they'll do something similar to Florida State that Clemson just did, I think. But I don't know that they're going to choose
that. Well, their defense isn't Clemson, though.
No, but their defensive linemen are all better than our offensive linemen. And I would suggest that, yeah, man, I if they care to play, that's not a good matchup for Florida State. But that's we're miles from there. You still have to beat NC State, which is a matchup problem, and you still have to beat Miami, who's now decided to play really well. And
oh, and they also got Vinny Testaverde, a quarterback, all of a sudden. Yes. That was cool.
So
that's a nice development for them.
But my point would be you could lose all those games, and ain't nobody going to be encouraged then.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. I feel like this is the last time we can come in. Because I do. I feel as good about this program as I did when we were doing the show last week.
All right. You say this all the time, and you're right about this. They're better this year.
Yeah.
But they are extremely limited with a long ways to go, and you have to recruit your way out of it.
Yeah.
So,
but they don't you feel like they're close? They're almost close to their ceiling roster. Like, what could you do with this roster?
Right. You can't get much more out. Well, the problem is,
against Clemson, I'm talking about. Like, you were in a close game against all those five stars. You could have won the game in the fourth quarter. Maybe you could say you should have won the game once you got the ball back with the lead. Last year, they would have lost to that Clemson team.
Yeah, by 24, 31, whatever.
Yeah, well, they would have lost to the 2020 Clemson team by 1,000 points.
Yeah, but we're talking about this
Clemson
team.
But, yes, even last year's team would have lost to that Clemson team, this Clemson team,
by 30, 35 points. Last year's team
stunk. So you see real growth, but I don't know that you can keep emphasizing growth and losses anymore.
So here's what I would tell you. If you're maximizing a very limited roster, that's what you can do as coaches, and that's encouraging. That is encouraging. You're maximizing what you have. But then to turn around and expect them to beat teams who have better players than them and have more cohesiveness over the last several years is highly unlikely. So if you encounter and incur more losses over the next few games, are you now going to retroactively say, well, they didn't do a good job? Because we think they're maximizing the roster. The roster is extremely limited.
Yeah.
So, listen, Florida State's an underdog against NC State at home for a good reason. They're going to be an underdog against Miami. They're going to be an underdog against Florida.
Yeah.
They'll be favored against BC because BC lost their quarterback and they're devastatingly bad on offense. But other than that, they're going to be underdogs in these next games if they lose those games. Now, how you lose matters.
For sure.
Yeah.
If you get your ass beat 37-7 on Saturday, we got a problem.
Yes.
But I mean, losing the games themselves, that's not going to be surprising.
The problem, we say that, and I agree with you 100%. The problem is the losses as they add up. Because, look, last year, in all offseason, everybody said last year was year zero. Or if they wouldn't say it was year zero, they would say, yeah, man, you got to take all of the COVID stuff into place. But as you get further away from that, all you see is the 3-6, and you count those wins. Okay, now he's 3-11.
Yeah.
And what if he,
but it's a silly exercise. Fans do that, but I just ignore them.
But it becomes tougher and tougher for him to dig out of that. If you can get wins, man, you got to get
wins.
That's
why that would have been such a monumental win. It really felt like a lost opportunity because you had a chance. Yeah. You would kind of luck yourself into a crazy touchdown offensively and a crazy touchdown defense. I don't want to say lucked into it, but Those were crazy plays. You had a lead and we're getting the ball back with 6 minutes to go against a wounded team, and you couldn't finish it off. But we know why you couldn't finish it off.
Right. You're not going to move the ball against that team.
You have to make a couple special plays, and they weren't going to happen. And you missed a block.
So, you lose is going to matter if you lose. Yes, you have some winnable games here. I'm not saying NC State is can't win the game. Certainly you could win the game. I do think you're an underdog for a good reason. And I do think, depending if Miami's going to continue to play like this, you're going to be an underdog in that game, too, because they got better players. And then, obviously, we know we're still debating what the hell's going on at the University of Florida, because they shut it down for the week now. Nobody's allowed to talk to anybody. It's going crazy over there. I mean, our boy over there has lost his mind.
I mean, is he trying to get fired?
I think
Well, what's feels funny that way. Is, like, you and Aslan were saying that you don't want to – I think Aslan said you don't want to make fun of their program because they're better than you are. And it's like, wait, I don't know, man. I mean, yes, over the last several years, for sure. But if you pick where they are right now, which ways they're trending, I think Mike Norvell's got a better chance of being good in a year or two than.
Yeah, if you're a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid, I would think you look at Florida State a little more positively than you do Florida right now.
Yeah, battle.
That seems like a sinking ship.
Well, the oddity, too, is if you're in Florida.
He's such an odd dude. Well, he's a weird, strange, unlikable person.
He says really dumb things all the time, and he continues to say them. But I would tell you this, that if you're a Florida fan, and I know several of them, I'm sure we all do.
We probably have a bunch of Florida fan watchers, listeners.
We do. But I would tell you that they should be rightfully incensed, because what an opportunity is being blown. Miami's not any good. Florida State isn't any good. You should own the entire state. You should be dominant. You should be running away in recruiting.
Yeah.
And they're not at all.
Like, if they had Ron Zook right now, they would have the number two class in the country, probably.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, I mean, no, in that sense, I feel better. I guess it's right now it's hard to define feelings, emotions centered around this Florida State team. On the one hand, they really have found a way to get blood from a stone with the limitations that they have on this offense. And that is coaching. That's good coaching. I mean, scheming up big plays and opportunities for big plays, even when your quarterback doesn't hit them, I mean, that's really amazing. That's long hours sitting there around the film going, how am I going to get this guy wide open against a look that I know blatantly disrespects my offensive line? They're not going to, I mean, they're in a position to do whatever they want to me, and yet they still do it. On the other hand, the frustrations of losing a Jacksonville State game is very real. It's even more real now than before, because you realize they're in this position where, what if they don't get another win or just one more win? It's tough to rationalize three-win season, no matter how you thought during the three-week winning streak.
Yeah, I really think the key this week is they're going to have to lean heavily on the defense. And, you know, Adam Fuller talked about it yesterday. Look, all these circumstances, the penalties, bad situation, field position, different things that worked against them. At the end of the day, they had a lead with 3 or 4 minutes to go, and the defense did not win the game. So they're asking the defense to step up. To me, this week is all about the defense, because I do not expect – I mean, this of the remaining teams on the schedule, I think NC State's probably got the best defense of the four, and I think because of what just happened and because of how physical that game was, I think they're gonna have a hard time scoring points this weekend.
Where's their head? I mean, can you be, well, for lack of a better term, professional and bounce back and play a football game now that is imminently winnable, but you are an underdog, so you got to be locked in.
And so, to me, this is a game. If I'm Florida State's, if I'm on that defense, for them to win this game, the defense got to play really, really well.
They got to play great, and it's going to be hard to play great because they're going against a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, the other problem is, and we can talk
and
about
that
this,
little slot guy that torched them last year.
Yeah, they got several good players on that side. I actually.
Well, Thayer.
Thayer or something.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about the game. I actually don't like Florida State to win this game. We'll see if I change my opinion as the week goes on, but I'm nervous about the game. I would say this. You know, they gave up over 250 yards in the first half to Clemson.
Yeah, that was the issue I had with the defense.
Well, so now, look, that's happened a lot this year.
Yeah.
I think there are some guys probably coaching for their job. Probably. I don't know that for sure. I'm not in the head of Mike Norvell. I don't know. But I would guess these games are very, very important.
By the way,
very important.
What was funny is, I thought was funny, was that Dillingham and Norvell both mentioned the NC State defensive coordinator because they've worked with him before. I don't know where their paths crossed
or
worked
something.
Against them. Yeah. Almost as if, like, man, this guy knows what he's doing over there. This dude is a great defensive coordinator. And I'm like, all right, well, if you're thinking about making a switch, I think you could get the defensive coordinator from NC State. And I think they're maybe – I'm not saying that's what they were doing, but it did catch my ear that they both mentioned the NC State defensive coordinator, what a great job he does, and they have a history with him. So I'm like, hey, and he's apparently really good. Like, he's got them playing well this year.
He does. Yeah, man.
Well, but you're right. Adam Fuller is absolutely coaching for his job these last 4 weeks.
And it's not always an uncomfortable conversation, especially if you like a guy. I think all three of us like him a lot, but it's also, to be objective and have the conversation.
My concern, I brought this up on Wake Up War Chant too, is the defense is absolutely better than it was last year. We might get into the top 60. We might be able to throw that up there. They're getting there. They're much better than they were last year. They couldn't be worse. But how much of that is number 11 and number 4? And when they leave, what happens to this defense if you don't have elite defensive ends?
Oh, they're going to be worse on defense next year.
I don't know if they will be, but that is a concern.
They're going to go back in the portal. I mean, they're going to go back in the portal.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, you could, buddy. Why do you say that? They're 1-for-1.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's –
they're hitting 100% on defensive ends.
I do think that gives you some proof of concept. I mean,
I'm not saying they can't get somebody, but man, what a year he's had.
It was
had.
A home run. Grand slam.
It's very rare you get somebody in the transfer portal that elite.
I think we look at the offense like, okay, they're going to grow because they're all young, and they're going to get better.
They will get better. And the offensive line's getting better.
Yeah, and you're going to get some receivers in here that can really play.
Well,
you hope, if the recruiting stays the way it's going. But on defense, I just wonder how much of the improvement on defense is just what you've done up front. And what happens with
I'm not buying that. Because look at who they had up front last year. I mean, when those guys played, they weren't good. That defense wasn't good. I mean, Marvin played like half the year. Durden played like half the year.
No, I'm talking about the edge. Like, they didn't have anybody on the edge that did anything. I mean, that's a big deal to have a guy that leads the nation in sacks.
The top four rounds.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they weren't productive. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying you can't just dismiss what they've done this year as a coach.
I'm not dismissing. I'm saying if I'm Norvell or in my job right now, a concern I have is how much of the improvement is those two transfer guys and how much of it is the
scheme. Hold on.
You
can even go further and say they're going to lose Fabian Lovett in all likelihood.
Yeah, they might.
And they're going to lose Kier Thomas. They're going to lose – they're going to be worse on defense up front.
But the strength of the team this year is a defensive line that probably won't be back next year, at least – certainly not a couple of them. And then you wonder, okay, are they still going to keep making these strides? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but
again,
I know that would be a concern.
But even – but again, it's like what – is that being held against them? I mean, they didn't build this roster. I mean, those guys have only been here for 18 months, so it's not like Adam Fuller's responsibility or blame.
No, I'm saying when you
I understand what you're saying, but yeah. I'm just saying you can't say, well, you wouldn't have been good if you didn't have good defense. Well, that's every position. The offense wouldn't have scored a point this year without Jordan Travis.
Right, yeah. I would say that, no, you're assessing big picture all of this. Right, yeah, there are elements that come and go. What you're talking about is personnel issues heading into next year because of what's vacating and whether or not can they get guys in and how does that reflect on Adam Fuller if they have another bad year on defense, mm-hmm. let's say. You're talking about obvious growth, which is a testament to coaching, that we've seen this year, right?
Right.
I agree with that as well. But I would also say
you think about the defense we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years, and this isn't like I'm not Adam Fuller, president of the fan club, but I'm just saying you look at the problems they've had on defense the last 3 or 4 years, those aren't there anymore. You don't have guys running free.
Yeah, they fixed the busts for the second half of the season.
And that's all
so
Alex
far.
That's all Alex Atkins has really done. I mean, for the most part, I mean, he's secured it to where it's not a disaster.
Right.
Yeah, it's not an embarrassment.
Yes, but in the first half of the season, the defense was an embarrassment.
Yeah, but
they were awful.
Yeah, but they've improved now, and they are better. Again, just moving forward, if you're addressing your coaching staff and you're saying, okay, is this the right guy? You do. That's the calculus you have to do, right? You have to be, okay, he did better. They're top 70 now in defense. We're not doing cartwheels, but they're better.
Yeah.
But
I'm not advocating one way or the other.
Either.
I'm saying that's on the table. We're talking about the importance of the remaining games.
That's part
I think
of the
we've
decision
made
making.
That pretty clear that they're very important. If NC State comes in and drops 30-plus, and so does Miami.
Well, I mean, again, you better hope Miami only drops like 34 because that kid is Bernie Kosar, Jim Kelly, all of them rolled in. Where did this come from?
Stop.
Where did he
come
from?
My point would be if that happens, then, I think there is a change in the
coffers, probably.
I think, in all likelihood.
Just a weird conversation the Monday after that game or the Tuesday after that game.
Well, I think
to be talking about
the
defensive staff's future.
Don't call us weird.
Just saying it's a strange fact that we've taken.
But I would also suggest that was the best offensive performance Clemson's had all year long. So that's a little frustrating.
Yeah, but they played well. They played fine. They weren't bad. They're not an embarrassment.
They didn't play well in the first half.
They were an embarrassment.
There's like
last
two
year.
Or three possessions.
They weren't great. And they, you know, if Clemson makes field goals, they'd have given up 30 points. But it's fine. They're fine. They're better than they were.
Well, nobody's arguing that.
Yeah, they're better than they were.
We can have a more nuanced conversation than to say they're better than they were. I think that's fair. That's what we're doing. They are better than they were. They're not good.
Right.
They're just better. So these games become all that much more important.
My eyes are on Dillingham too now. I'm just kidding. They're all on the table. Atkins, what are you doing? You can't block those guys? But yeah.
Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, headliners and elite headliners. It's Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple of years ago, we wanted to create and sell headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point of sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love most about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up today for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase, and they'll help you grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Go to shopify.com/warchant.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Here's something we can talk about and I think all agree on. Whatever they're doing on special teams.
I thought we were going to talk about Toa Feely's play, man.
It's a great play. And then without that play, the yards per play are disastrous.
Well, the whole offense.
Yeah, they did nothing outside of that play.
Yeah.
But again, that I don't understand. I continually you've been banging this gong for a long time, man. Papuch has done a great job with the defensive ends. He's got good players to work with. So Tom was right to bring that up when I was bitching about Papuch this week or yesterday. But I don't understand, man.
You're throwing your hands up.
Well, I'm tired.
Well, it's really been weird.
It's exhausting.
The return stuff to me, it's just, you know, I don't know. You know, again, they've tried four different returners through eight games.
So there's a process problem.
Well, but it tells you that they don't have any. I mean, they don't have any options. I mean, Trayshawn's been working there some of practice, but I mean, you know, he just was.
But
he,
why would you?
Somebody can catch the ball.
Somebody has to.
But somebody can catch the ball.
How about your man Parker Self? He'd go catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But why in that game do you throw out a kid that hasn't returned a punt, I don't know, in 5 years?
It's desperation, I guess. But I mean,
but that's I really think they
could break one.
That he's the guy that can break one. But he's not comfortable enough to catch the ball.
I'll do without breaking one. How about catching the punt?
Yeah.
As soon as you snap the ball to the punter, like as the ball is in the air going to the punter, can you call for a fair catch? When is the
ball has to have left the foot. It's
you
still
know
not
that
hard.
For sure?
Yes.
Okay. So as soon as the ball leaves the foot, your arm's in the air as he's catching.
But a lot of times they're not even in position to catch it. What the hell is that?
But
matter?
I feel like maybe
say,
if
does
they
that change?
Because
that,
if he knows he's not going to get hit,
they're not scared. They're just not good at it. I guarantee they're not scared.
I think it's entirely just
fear of a turnover.
Fear of getting there
and not catching
and turning the turnover.
I can't believe we don't have a single athlete on this team that feels like they can't catch a punt.
I think they can. The problem is nobody ever punts it the right way. And now think about that.
How about having Master Mono in practice kick him like
that?
Oh,
he does. He does.
Kick line drives to him, make him go catch it. Like that's for six periods. Oh, I would just do that.
There have been opportunities to catch punts.
Yeah, yeah. And Papuch said that today that two of them definitely shouldn't have hit the ground. He didn't have a problem with the last one.
Wasn't the first one right off the game? Like the first one of the game?
Yeah, just let it drop.
Just let it drop. The last one I'm going to forgive. It was a line drive off to the side.
Although I'll say this on the last one.
You don't have to let it roll 40 yards.
Well, that's what Papuch said. It's like, and you got to go hit the ball to stop the clock. But go catch the darn thing. And what happened? If you've lost the game anyway.
Yeah, you're not going to.
You have a better chance of breaking a punt return in that spot than you do of going 80 yards and 22 seconds. But even so, I wouldn't have had a problem if he'd have fumbled that one. I get being worried with the lead on a 20-17.
But they do it every week to every team.
Yeah, no,
man.
Exactly.
It's not
you
bad.
Don't get the benefit of the doubt, and it was a catchable punt. And if you go catch it on the run, you save yourself 20 yards. If you just catch it standing still, you save yourself 12 or 14 yards.
I can only
yards.
Fathom. I imagine. If I'm this frustrated watching them not ever catch punts, can you imagine what the head coach has to feel like, given that it's been his mantra since he got here?
Yeah.
About the importance of special teams, how it reveals your team's character, all this stuff that he has said publicly. Well, hey, man, that has got to drive him batty.
Yeah, because all the other stuff he preached, I feel like we are seeing it all laid.
Yeah.
The foundation has been laid.
Yeah, they're playing hard. They play hard for one another. Yeah. They put in the work during the week.
They're likable. They're a fun team to watch because they do play hard, even though they're not immensely talented.
Yeah,
I'm not taking
a personal shot at them, but this is just about you. I don't know how you go this long without catching a punt.
They're 94th in the nation in special teams efficiency, 94th, which is 93 spots below where his last Memphis team was.
Right.
That's crazy.
Some of it just seems like it would be easy pickings, too. Like, okay, we just got to adjust this. By the way, guys, we do have to catch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
first things first.
Let's just catch the damn thing and not let it go another 20, 30 yards.
He did, but if people – we don't need to spend an hour on special teams, but if you did want to know more about
it – Who's Ira to dictate what we need to do or not do?
If you want to know more about it, Corey actually wrote a story about it. John Papuch, just everything he said about, because there were other issues as well. They had a field, extra point block.
Kick the ball out of bounds to start
the game.
Kick
the ball out of bounds. Yeah. So, anyway, there's a video you can watch Papuch's talk for almost 9-10 minutes about all of this. And then Corey wrote a story as well. It's on WarChant.com.
I got to imagine he's frustrated. He knows it's a bad look.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great look.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord.
If you're good in special teams, you win that game probably. Because Clemson was awful.
I've always felt like they spend an inordinate amount of time on special teams in practice.
They're not getting a lot of bang for their buck in that regard yet. So, but that's what they do. That's what he wants. And it would. I mean, when you're not a good team, being really good at special teams can steal you a win or two each year. But it also can lose you games when you're 94th in the country.
Well, now you turn your attention this week to NC State. And again, there were positive things that came out of the Clemson game. They were highly competitive against a team that has better players at almost every position. So I will grant them that, and I was encouraged in that sense. I do think that now you're in a dangerous place because I got to imagine the kids, and they've been resilient, but I got to imagine the kids are pretty heartbroken. To have a lead on the road against that team with under five to play, probably, you know, set you up for some real heartbreak to lose in that manner. And now you got to put it, you got to wash it away. You got to move on. You got, because this is a winnable game. And if you were to win it, you know, you have an outside shot all of a sudden of being a bowl team.
But imagine what kind of sign that would be. Because NC State's a good team. They're a
bowl
team.
They're a very good team. They're better than Florida State.
If you came back from, you had a 3-game winning streak, you lost on the road to your rival when you had to lead in the fourth quarter, a rival that has just embarrassed you each year of the last 3 or 4 years, and then to come back after a heartbreaking loss and beat a good team at home, I don't care if it's 21 to 20.
It would be a big damn deal. Yeah.
It'd be a really impressive for what this coaching staff is building and what these players are buying into.
And we do think they have bought in that way that it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, so to win that game would be massive. I feel like this is a huge game because if you win this game, then it's on the table that you win another couple of games.
Well, that's the only thing that's unfortunate to me about the way the games lay out is I do feel like they're going to come back. I do feel like gauging the way they were after the game and everything. I mean, I do feel like it didn't feel like the end of the season. Now we're just going to ride this out. Right. It felt like they're going in the right direction. So I think they are going to play well. I kind of wish they were playing Miami and, you know, Joe Namath, the quarterback, whoever Corey's right. anointed them to
yeah.
be. But I do think but I just worry about playing a team with that good of a defense.
I think he's a combination. You remember Steve Walsh from back early 90s Miamis? He's a combination of him and Marino.
Montana?
No, Marino.
Okay.
Yeah, big arm. Right. But the kid, I mean, his numbers are outrageous. This is crazy. He wasn't even going to play at all. And now he's my number two pick for the Heisman right now. Just saying. Guy's out of control.
Could he win it, Corey?
If they win out, he's going to get it, yeah.
Well, and the other issue, you know, NC State, man, and I haven't watched them play this year, but when you look at their quarterback stats, it just reminds me a lot of when they had that Finley kid.
Yeah.
He's got 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
He's a good player.
He's not throwing the ball down the field. They're just going to take these long, time-consuming
drives.
They're going to go there a lot. So that to me.
Be good in the red zone.
Yeah, they're going to have 100%.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
As to the world of recruiting that Florida's coach doesn't want to talk about until it's recruiting season, guys. He's not even going to worry about this. As to recruiting, I think that's where a lot of our eyes turn. We can talk about the on-field stuff, and we can debate with nuance, you know, this coach, that coach, and where they're at. But also, the reality is they have to have better players at a lot of positions.
Yeah.
We talk about the transfer portal, but we also talk about building with a stable, solid recruiting class. And they have one on the hook here. I don't know this. You guys talk to Michael Langston more frequently than I do. Certainly I should go. And tonight, further educate myself on warchant.com about where we stand with a lot of these guys. Still feeling good? Still feeling good on the whole about that class? I know we're going to lose a couple guys. That's normal, but
yeah, there's one or two more guys that are taking visits and kind of actively talking to other schools. But yeah, no, I think they do. And I think it's big that they have played better these last few weeks, even though they don't have the wins to show for it last week. I think they're in pretty good shape. And I'm curious to see what they do from a number standpoint, though, because there is that new legislation.
Yeah, you can have an extra seven or whatever it is.
So you can bring in 32 guys, right?
No, it doesn't really work that way exactly. Oh. But there's two different 25 limits. There's the 25 in a class, but then there's another one like 25 players can start within a calendar year. And that's the one that sometimes they get bit by. Like this past class, they had more scholarships to give, but they couldn't bring in more than 25 in that year. Well, now you're going to have some more leeway in that area.
Oh, all right.
So they're, you know, so I'm just curious to see how many more high school guys are going after. I obviously love to get Marvin Jones Jr. You'd love to get Julian Armella. There's, you know, some players they'd love to get. But then there's, you know, how much room are you going to save on the transfer portal?
A chunk.
Yeah, you would think.
A sizable chunk, I would think.
And that's the thing, man. Like, you look at that game, and no. I mean, did the coaches call a perfect game? No. Did the players play a perfect game? No. And but there are such huge limitations that really decrease your margin for error.
There's a level of nuance when you're recruiting a player and his parents. And I don't think it's just, well, you guys were 3-6 last year, you're 4-8 this year. I feel like Norvell and his staff better have a great package to show these people about. Look how much better we are than we were 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Like, literally, I brought it up on Wake Up Board Chant. By the way, guys, listen to that show. The last time, in 2018, Clemson was up 59-3 and throwing fades to Dabo's kid after two kids got ejected for punching. And then last year he was clowning your team and saying you were scared to play. 2 years ago they were up 42-0 with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, just show them, like, you lost to Clemson again. We get it. But look at the gap. Look how much better they've got. Now this week, you might lose to NC State. But if it's 27-23, last year you were down 28-3. Like, I think, wouldn't that matter to a recruit more than wins and losses?
There's certainly empirical data to show you're better. We know that.
So that's the selling job you can do, even with a 4-8 team. That's the sell job you can do.
I don't know that kids look at all of those things, though. And I'm not sure that a kid is going to be overly impressed when you show them that data and then they go, yeah, but you won 3 games this year.
Well, a lot of it depends on who each kid and who else they're being recruited by.
Right.
You know, like the Alu Ba, the offensive lineman who was committed since the summer. He was committed to Florida State until Georgia decided, we really want you.
Oh, if Georgia or Alabama decides they want one of your kids, you're pretty well screwed.
Now, the difference here is, you know, there are a couple kids that everybody does want that have been holding firm.
Yeah, Travis Hunter being the name.
Yeah, and Sam McCall. And you're going to have to fight off those big boys for, you know, some of these other guys they want, Marvin Jr. and some of these other guys.
But I guess, like in Travis Hunter's camp, I don't know, all big-time guys have camps, right? Camp. Like, you have a camp.
Oh, yeah.
When you know, your worry was that you were being sold a bill of goods. You're not really improving. You were 3-6 last year. Then you started off 0-4. Okay, maybe we don't believe in this coach. I think now, after 8 games, there's enough, like you said, empirical data. Forget the record. This program is getting better. It's in a better place.
Yes, it is.
So Travis Hunter won't feel foolish for believing that Mike Norvell is turning this into a winning program.
Also, you have a
kid. Even if they go 4-8 or 5-7 or even 3-9.
Well, and if Travis Hunter was willing to commit to Florida State and have this be the in shambles program that it has been over the last 3 years, then I think he was pretty unshakable. I mean, it would take an awful lot. Now, maybe Georgia offers an awful lot. Certainly they have to win the recruiting battle against everybody else and put together arguably the greatest defense we've ever seen. They have been willing to offer all that's necessary to make sure Georgia brings in the best players on defense. I don't know, but if you were going to lose that battle because of that, because you weren't willing to meet that standard, we'll say, then you probably would have already lost him.
Yeah, wouldn't you think?
You would have already lost him.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't go out and do something stupid and get beat 45-0.
Sure.
Which could shake the foundations of that trust, yes. But on the whole, I feel like that kid's committed. I do.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. And, I think when you look at the offensive line and when we look at the future, because, you know, there's 4 games left. So especially after a game like that against Clemson, where you feel like, okay, it was so close, you could have won it, but what's going to look like next year? Does that mean you're getting closer, or was this the one chance you were going to have?
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're getting closer.
I do feel like you're getting closer, and I think especially when you look at on the offensive line, they're all going to be back, and that group should be better.
They will be better.
And you're not asking redshirt freshmen to play. Those guys would have been 3 years into the program, 2 years with the weight and strength program, you know, non-COVID years, and now they've got experience with them. So that should be a solid group. You wouldn't expect they're going to get overwhelmed by probably anybody they play.
Yeah, my fear, I agree with you. My fear is I think they are going to be better on offense. I think that is without question true. I think they need to add on. Right now they've found a way to kind of piecemeal it together, and that's good. But against good teams, they're going to stop Jordan Travis from running, and then you've got a problem. But they'll be better. That line will get better. Hopefully you add some wide receivers to this group and you're more diversified there. I would find, if I could, somebody to challenge Jordan Travis for the job. Not saying he couldn't win it.
How dare you? What about the kid at LSU that just went in the portal? Not the guy you want.
I want
the other
Max Johnson. But anyhow, I'm still holding out hopes. I'm still recruiting Max Johnson.
Yeah, but didn't that hurt your Florida State's chances that the other kid
bounced? It kind of hurt my heart a little bit.
Going back to the thing Corey was bringing up earlier about losing those guys on the defensive front, all I would say, though, is a year ago, at the end of last season, I remember saying, I said a few times, how is the defense going to be better next year when you don't have Marvin Wilson, when you don't have Janaris Robinson, when you don't, you know, but then they went out and did it in the portal.
Yeah, they found
somebody.
They just have to
do it again.
It's also a good selling point to guys in the portal. Like, look, Jermaine Johnson was on the – he left Georgia and made money.
Let's hope he's healthy, fully recovered. You get Dennis Briggs back, and he was in the middle of having a good season and really showed progress
and
there.
And I like what you're seeing out of Malcolm Ray
has been better. He's been better, yeah, without question. I think there's some room there. Maybe even Quayshon Fuller. Yeah. They're getting better there. Now, that said, again, losing what you're going to lose on the edges and losing in the middle. I mean, Fabian Lovett's a really good player if he goes. So it's going to be tough. Hopefully they hit home runs. It's not impossible.
Right.
They also brought in some guys that were not home runs. It is. Yeah. It's rare that you do as well as you did with, in particular, Jermaine Johnson, who is a beast.
And Keir Thomas, man. I mean, he's not Jermaine Johnson, but he is a good college football player, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a real good coach.
Yeah, I like him. I like
that front
him a lot.
Four is the best part about the Florida State football team. It is, without question. They're consistently
Cooper sometimes is unblockable. Like, he just moves dudes out of the way. You know, and Lovett's been good. Yeah, now, they've been good up front.
The other thing I'd say is if you could find, and it may be possible, given what LSU's losing and the problems you have at Florida, and we'll see you were having at Miami, got to get some linebackers in here, guys.
Yeah.
They really.
There's a lot around the country. You know,
get some guys.
Go find the fourth guy in Georgia's rotation at linebacker. Well, like, man, you can play
all the teams have rated Georgia's fourth string. It's hilarious. We did it. Yeah. Everybody's done it. Florida's got a guy from Georgia.
I think Miami does too. Miami does. The leading tackler.
Yeah, everybody's gotten a guy from Georgia, and they're instantly that team's best player. It's insane what Kirby's
done. Yeah, he's barely. Boy, Jermaine Johnson was in the top 18 on their defense.
They are committed at Georgia, Corey.
Come on, man. Come on.
Some headlines. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Next hour, don't forget, we get to headliner questions. I'm sure there'll be a bevy of them. And you're hanging in there?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's the build-up towards tonight. And if you lose tonight, I know you don't believe you can win Game 7.
I don't believe they can win either one of these games. No, that's actually not true. I actually do feel weirdly confident about tonight, which I haven't been in this place. I think Freed, the Astros, the last time they were in the World Series, they lost all four games at home. They lost one of their two games here at home, so they've lost 5 of 6 at home. It's not this din you can't win. And Max
it's also baseball. Typically,
Max Fried's due to pitch well. He's pitched horribly his last two games. I'd have pitched him in Game 5. Once I got a 4-0 lead, I'd be like, Max, I know you're – get warmed up, buddy. You're pitching. We're winning tonight.
On the way back from Clemson, we're in the car. Aslan and I are in the front seat. Corey's in the back seat. And the game is on. The Braves are playing.
Yeah, you're listening.
We wanted to put on the radio.
Of course.
He wouldn't let us.
Right.
Well, so you guys are
so we listened
one,
to NC
said,
State Louisville instead.
So we listened Riveting. To some quality NC State, and then I guess the Braves. He'll follow the Braves account because
on
it's
Twitter.
Only good news. It's only sunshine.
No, they never tell
they
you.
They never be like, oh, and that's a grand slam for
and
the Astros.
There's a 6-4-3 double play, despite the fact the bases were loaded with
So he's like, yeah, they just tied it up. He goes, I know that, and then they had actually taken the lead. So then Aslan's texting me. He's texting me that. And not that I'm driving and texting, but it was sitting there so I could see it. But anyway, it's just ridiculous.
It's
we have a Braves fan in the car, and he's the one who won't let us.
I'm listening to the World Series. You'd be glad I wasn't in that car, Corey. We're listening to the World Series.
I'd have to get my earmuffs on.
Yeah, because I'm not going to not listen to the World Series.
Well, put them in your AirPods.
Put your fingers in your ears.
But so what was funny about that, though, is literally I would update. I would probably refresh every 20-25 minutes, and literally no Braves updates for 2.5 hours.
And at that point, you're like,
and I'm like, it must be 11-0. And then finally they showed Kyle Wright's stat line, and I'm like, okay, well, he only gave up a run, so they must only be down 1 or 2 to nothing. And then I saw Dansby and Soler.
Are you going to watch tonight?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're not going to watch the game tonight?
No.
I feel like if we're good friends, we would stage an intervention and make him watch it.
I understand.
Clockwork Orange, yes. Just peel my
100%,
eyes open.
100%.
I'm terribly confused.
No, it's just not fun. It's not enjoyable. I enjoyed the most enjoyable game I've had, other than the ones I was at, was when they beat the Dodgers in Game 6 to go to the World Series. Old Daddy didn't watch a second of that game. But Daddy still celebrated when I saw the
I don't feel like you've earned it. You don't even get to celebrate a championship. You didn't earn it. You didn't go out there and do anything.
I didn't sit through it. I mean,
you couldn't handle it. You didn't govern your emotions.
I went to 2 of the games. I feel like I've earned it. I spent a little bit of money on those games, so it's fine. But, hey, just give me – root for me, please. Root for me. The Braves deserve it. I feel good about tonight. I never feel good. I feel like Fried's going to get it done, and I feel like Ozzie Albies might actually get a hit.
So if it doesn't happen tonight, though, you're not going to be bereft of hope, as I like to say. You're going to feel good even about Game 7, because you just said no. You feel like they'll still get it done.
Oh no, I'm not. I don't. It doesn't matter. I'm not.
Well, you're not going to watch.
I'm not watching. Yeah. I'll know on Thursday when I wake up if I need to go get a World Series champ shirt.
I think I care more about whether the Braves win this thing and am willing to watch it play out than you do.
Well, here's the thing. If they do win this World Series, I will never do this again. But I'll never do this again. I'll have flushed all this out of my system.
And saw none of it.
I saw a third of it, and I'll have my championship, and I'll be cool with everything else. Like when the Hawks are in the finals against the Lakers, I'll be able to watch every second. I won't be nervous again.
Ever in your life?
No, this is it. I just got to get one more. I got to get one more title up in me. One more championship up in me, and that'll carry me for my life.
All right, there's not a single team that you root for that you feel this way about.
No, even
watch.
Like the last couple times the Orioles got in the stupid wild card game, I was like at the
edge
of
late
my,
90s, right?
The edge of my couch.
Jeffrey Mayer?
No, man. They've been the wild card since then. But like just sitting there, just, you know.
You couldn't wait to watch.
Yeah.
That's the reward for having gutted it out for a full season.
Well, like I told y'all too, though, postseason baseball is almost unwatchable.
It is difficult.
Especially when there's no starting pitching. It's really hard to watch.
But it's also edge of your seat stuff, and that's why you get too nervous to watch it.
Yeah, don't need it.
The beautiful is the slow burn in baseball.
And most of the games have been good games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I don't know how you weren't emboldened after the Grand Slam.
I was very emboldened.
I don't know. You.
And then Tucker Davidson strolled back out to the mound. I'm like, well, let's see how this goes against the best lineup in baseball.
I don't know, man. I can't have one of my team. Like, I watched every second of that Florida State game. I wasn't going to turn away when they took the lead late, even though Clemson had the ball and was driving. I didn't decide, like, oh, I can't watch this, even though I felt a little bit like it might be inevitable that Clemson was going to score.
I'm not here arguing that what I'm doing is rational and logical and makes any sense or makes me a good sports fan. It's all stupid. I'll be in therapy for years after all this, but just know This is my plan. This is my game plan.
Mm-hmm. Are you
going to have a little victory sausage waiting, though?
Of course. Or pity sausage, one way or the other.
But either way, there's going to be some sausage.
So you guys, after the happy hour on Friday evening, you guys going to make it over to the Tuck and see the next exhibition game for the Noles?
So I am. My oldest son's birthday is on Thursday, and all he wants to do for his birthday weekend is to go see basketball.
There you go.
He's a hoop head. He's going to be trying out for his middle school or for his high school team, or his middle school team this year.
Brady tried out and did not make it, which was
for
not
basketball?
A surprise. Yeah.
Bryce is going to try out, and I've got a hoop being built now, like a professional one, at my house as we speak.
Oh, all right. Look at you.
Really nice. But there's
can
that.
Can he dunk yet?
No, he can't dunk yet. But he can jump. He's
I know,
getting there.
And he's tall.
He's 5'11".
Yeah.
But he's getting there. And I've really emphasized working on your handles at this point. I mean – because that's going to separate you. He's athletic enough in the other ways. He can run and jump. He can shoot. But I'm like, man, kids that play seriously don't get ganked.
Yeah.
Like, they don't just have people roll up on them, take the ball. You're going to have to be able to dribble.
Do you remember Michael Jenkins? He played at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. His kid goes to Brady's Middle School.
Oh,
and you can imagine he's a pretty talented athletic
pretty
kid.
He made the team?
Yeah. So he's in the seventh grade. He's the same age as Brady, but Brady's an eighth grader. He's the seventh grader. And Brady said literally the first drill and tryouts was Brady got the ball, and he's like, yeah, and of course Bryce is guarding me. And I go, oh, no. I thought he wasn't even trying out for the team. He's like, oh, no, they're all trying out. meaning all the really good players. And I'm like, how'd that go? Not well. It wasn't cool. Like, why did he have to guard me the first one? And it's like, Brady, that's basketball, man. That's why you got to work on your handles a lot, buddy.
I like the not well.
Yeah, not well. Didn't go well.
Didn't go well for me there. That didn't turn out the way that I had hoped. That didn't go well. Yeah. No, I'm interested to see how Bryce does. But the point is, he's a hoophead. He watches the NBA every night. He knows every team, every player. He'll ask me the scores the next morning. Like He'll ask scores about nonsense. He'll be like, did you see whether or not, whomever, the Clippers came back last night in that game against Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
I'll be like, no, I didn't catch it. I went to bed. Didn't catch it. He goes, why don't we pull that up and see?
Yeah. The Clippers did come back.
They did. I saw George hit a bunch of threes. But but it's funny. He's asking about it this morning while we're getting ready for school.
And how about Scotty Barnes, by the way?
His point, he's working. But the point is, he loves Leonard Hamilton. He went to, just like Brady did, Hamilton's basketball camp. And all he wants to do is go to every Florida State basketball
game. Yeah, they're fun, man. They're fun. That first exhibition was pretty cool. I expect him to be good, but I was even more pleasantly surprised.
Well, Raekwon Evans.
The younger guys. Mostly the younger guys.
Okay.
Right. I mean,
he did have a nice game.
He played well,
threes.
Man. I feel like we know what we're going to get out of Raekwon Evans.
Well, he's got I want the Raekwon Evans from 2 years ago that wasn't afraid to shoot and make things, as opposed to the one who played last year.
He played with confidence in this. We'll see how he does when he starts playing.
Probably didn't help that his backup was the number 4 pick in the draft. So he knew anytime he didn't do well, it's like, I bet they want Scotty on the floor.
I wonder, so Caleb Mills was fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's really smooth.
I wonder what ends up happening for Malik Osborne. Is he going to have to play more in the middle? Is he going to have to be more that guy?
I think they'll play him at the five a
probably
lot. I don't think they like their big guys a lot. Yeah. Their big guys are very
well.
Raw.
Now, wait a minute, Ira. How's your boy?
Tenor, he's fine, man. He's fine. He's gonna be just fine. I think he had 10 and 8, something like that.
A couple
blocking
turnovers,
shots.
Maybe a few turnovers.
A few turnovers.
Still didn't look real fluid.
It wasn't really a good matchup for him. Small guard,
6'5" guys. Yeah.
But he's gonna be fine. And I really liked Worley. I really liked him a lot. Obviously Cleveland. It's gonna be an interesting group.
So Mills, they say, is gonna be every night the quickest player on the floor.
He's and what it is, man, he's so smooth. Like, he just has everything. Like, every time you see him attack or decide what he's gonna do, like, there's no debate of whether or not he can do what he's planning to do.
In a natural
just,
score.
What's he gonna do?
Yeah.
What about Matthew Cleveland?
Really good, man. Just every stat stuffer, kind of like the Terrence
Mann
kind
of guy. 6'7" long,
very long.
I think he's a better shooter now than Mann was when he got here. But the kind of similar attributes, probably a more natural scorer than Terrence.
And
was,
just
too.
You know, steals, rebounds, looks to pass. That was the coolest thing to me was you have some new guys who have big reputations and are probably trying to figure things out, but they all really play to each other, which you expect from Leonard Hamilton's teams. But it's just cool to see it as freshmen. It's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to watching
it. Me too. I'm looking forward to basketball.
I probably won't go over there that night, but I'm going to read the updates. And I also don't want, Brady didn't make his middle school team, I don't want that to be a negative for the Leonard Hamilton basketball camp. It's still a good experience.
Oh, it's a great experience.
Even if they, you know.
But Brady's got some things to overcome at this stage of his.
Well, I kind of tell him.
He's also at a huge school in Atlanta with,
with really talented players.
Really good players, yeah.
And he's still shorter.
He's short, yeah. He's short for his grade.
Hour number
age.
Two, forthcoming headliner questions. Hang in.